in the parking lot, in the gym. It's called our family fun night. What we're trying to do is be able to provide a small dinner and a family movie. So, for example, my daughter can come and be a part. But then we also want to do something for the older kids. And somebody got a genius idea to have a Nerf battle. So the idea is to use the gym and have the older kids and even some of the younger kids come have a Nerf battle. What we want to do ultimately is the church connecting with the community is the idea. So we need you guys to be involved as well. We need you guys to be here just to simply say hi, to simply introduce yourself to some other people from our community. Brandenburg is where my son's going to go this year. And that same day, they have their teacher orientation. And so we will have hundreds of students right across the street. And so we want to use this time to be able to connect with them, try and draw them to come visit with us so that they can come and visit with you guys. So we would greatly appreciate for you guys to be here Friday. It's going to start at 6 o'clock. And if you guys can just be here just to simply say hi. I'll chase the kids around. I'll play all the little goofy games in the yard and stuff. I just need you guys to be here just to introduce yourself, say hi, and let the community know that we actually have people here that are nicer than I am, I think.
Did you want to mention anything? They've got the Norvell going out.
Sure. So have you guys noticed that there's pictures going on back here? These are pictures from when the youth went to Norvell, the children's home in Kaufman. They were able to go out, spend a couple of hours with the kids. In fact, I think this one, there was about 14 kids there the day they went. I think the biggest group they've had was 20, and the smallest group they've had was like 4. This is a place where it's an emergency shelter for kids who maybe CPS takes them from their parents. So this is the emergency shelter that these kids go to until they can kind of figure out what's really going to happen. So this is a chance for our students to kind of go and spend some time with these kids. They taught them a Bible lesson, Daniel in the Lion's Den. They colored with them. They fed them some food. And it was a really good time for them to get to interact and do a little bit of mission work with them. So these are the pictures that you guys are kind of getting a chance to look at and see. And so we appreciate you guys, those that donated to the school supplies that we took to Norvell. And those were able to go with our students, be given to them as well. So we appreciate you guys' help with that as well. So
thank you. There we go.
Thank you, Joseph. Last announcement, just so in case y'all are surprised, it's the second Sunday and we're having communion. Last week we had VBS Sunday. For those of you who are here, we had a whole row or maybe multiple row with kids that had come up from VBS last week. So if you missed that, it was a big, exciting time. So communion's today. So don't get up and leave towards the end. Renee will be watching. All right. Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
How many of you are thankful for the rain? I'm just thankful it let up just a little bit so that I could make it here this morning. But let's now turn our thoughts and our hearts to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you would stand, please. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you once again so much for the rain. Just thank you for the refreshing, the breeze, the feel of your love. And dear God, just help us to feel that love this morning as we come into your presence and we worship you and you alone. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Oh, wonderful. my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Ask our kids to come to help lead in the affirmation of faith. Slowly, surely. Yeah. Come on. I'm not scary. I don't bite other people's kids. Hey. I think we're running out of space here.
Yay.
I'm gonna go hide over here. All right. So, are you all good? You guys like, I'm gonna hide. Okay. So, all right. Are you guys ready? So we're gonna lead our church to the affirmation of faith, okay? And so this is a historical statement, kind of what we believe. And so it'll be up there on the screen for you guys if you need to read it like I do, okay? Right. So follow with us, if you will, as the children lead us in our affirmation of faith.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, buried, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Miss Jennifer here to go out to children's church.
All right, kids are going to children's church.
And then we'll be back in here for communion time.
They'll be back for communion time. Great. Thank you very much.
Somebody is.
Okay. All right, this is the time we greet each other. In the name of the Lord, we have some guests here with us today and people we haven't seen in a while. So hug and embrace each other. Welcome each other.
Mm-hmm.
1 John 1, verse 5 says, "This is the message that the Lord has given. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all." So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth, but we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is. Then we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from every sin. If we say that we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And that's what we're singing about this morning, the wonderful blood of Jesus that cleanses us from every wrong.
Away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I hold
Wonderful music as always. And, you know, Carol, I was thinking about the blood song. And I remember when I was a kid, it made me reflect, so maybe our young people can identify. When we used to sing those blood songs about Jesus' blood and all that, it used to scare me. I went, oh. I said, what is all this blood pouring all over me? And so I couldn't quite understand as a child, as a young person, exactly what the song was about. And then only later did I realize that blood was really Christ's life substance for us. It's a symbol of life that Jesus can give to each and every one of us. So thank you for choosing that song. All right, as far as our prayer time together, the only person I'm aware of that's in any kind of hospital setting is Simone. She's in the rehab center in Richardson. So I was able to see her earlier this past week. And so she's doing very good, very optimistic, and so forth. I haven't heard any update on Mark Kiefer.
He's doing well, just slow.
Slow, okay.
Yes,
so we miss him very much. I would ask you to continue to be supportive of him as he recovers. Let us be in the spirit of prayer at this time, please. Almighty and wonderful God, be with us as we gather to worship your name. And inspire us through your Holy Spirit to feel your presence and to hear your word. And warm our hearts with your grace that we might feel your love. And may your Son continue to whisper to us the assuring words of your gospel. So for all that you do for us, we are thankful and blessed. Today we especially ask that you show mercy to us when we stumble and fall. And though we are part of your creation and you consider us to be your children, we acknowledge that our humanness makes us fall short of your expectations. There are times when we pull away from you. There are moments when we make wrong decisions. So for our sinfulness, please forgive us. Give us a new chance, a new opportunity to rise up on our feet so that we may be able to start life anew. We ask that you hear our prayers for family members and friends who are distressed or depressed, who may be hurting in some way. We ask also that you be a light and a source of hope to those who live in the shadows. Grant assurance to those who feel alone and healing to those who are broken. Again, thank you for all that you do for us as our living God. Our praises are lifted to you. We offer these words in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Creator and architect of the universe, you, Lord, created the night and the day, the weeks and the months. We convinced ourselves that one day was for worship when we knew in our deepest being that every day and every moment is a celebration in the worship of your love. As we offer our gifts this morning, stoke in us a fire to live every one of our days as a testimony to your love. We pray it in Christ's name, who in love died for us. Amen.
Thank you, Eric. As always, wonderful music, very moving. So our scripture reading today is, if you're following your bulletin, it's a little bit off. It's 5, it's 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 through 9, not 19, 15, 31 through 33. It skips around, and you'll see why it does skip around a little bit. So this lesson is a continuation of the lessons that we've been covering over the last couple of Sundays. We've been talking about David. Remember, we talked about forgiveness. We talked about David's consequences, and today we're going to talk about his family a little bit, particularly one of his sons. All right. The king ordered Joab and Abishiah and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all commanders concerning Absalom. So the army went out into the field against Israel, and the battle was fought in the forest of Ephraim. The men of Israel were defeated there by the servants of David, and the slaughter there was great on that day, 20,000 men. The battle spread over the face of all the country, and the force claimed more victims that day than the sword. So Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak. His head caught fast in the oak, and he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on. And 10 young men, Joab's armor bearers, surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. Then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "Good tidings for my lord the king, for the Lord has vindicated you this day, delivering you from the powers of all those who rose against you." So the king, David, said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "May the enemies of my lord, the king, and all who rise up to do you harm be like that young man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wow. Not a feel-good sermon today, right? It's like, what tragedy. And imagine the messenger came, didn't even know what was going on, and said, "Oh, yeah, the guy that was up against you, we killed. And it's like, he thought he was telling the king a good thing, right? But he wasn't. He was telling him tragic news. So you may recall from last week that when talking about the consequences of David's fall from grace, I mentioned that David's household was in a mess, right? His sons were rebellious, and some of the acts they committed were atrocious. I also mentioned that if anyone here in the congregation had difficult kids, all they need to do is read the lesson for today and yesterday and so forth. Just read these chapters in 2 Samuel. Because even our most challenging kids, and I'm talking about adult kids as well, even our most challenging kids cannot compare to David's boys. So one of the boys is highlighted in our lesson today. That's Absalom, as we have mentioned. That was David's third son. For whatever reason, he turned out to be a real troubled young man. He was described as very handsome, very charming, but then he had this other side to him that was destructive and evil. For one, he killed his older brother, who was a half-brother, Amnon. He was getting revenge for his sister, who Amnon had forced himself upon her. It's crazy, isn't it? He later tried to dethrone David as king of Judah and Israel. David was the king of both kingdoms. So by gathering up and trying to start a rebellion amongst the Israelites to rebel against David, this is the son trying to do this against his father. And he actually referred to himself as the king of Israel, defying his father's name. And remember, he rode in on a mule, and that's when he went into battle on a mule. A mule was a sign of royalty. So he was just absorbing it all, right? During this time, he also slept with King David's concubines. acceptable for that period of time. Of course, not today. And he did this in order to hurt his father. And then finally, in the last act of rebellion, he leads an army to fight David's forces. And of course, he loses, as I read to you earlier. And under Absalom's command, 20,000 men died in battle. And Absalom was one of them. And remember, it was before this battle that David appeals to his officers, his field generals, be gentle with Absalom. Of course, this didn't happen. So in spite of this rebellious attitude that Absalom carried, David loved him dearly anyway. David even considered him his favorite son, even though his son was so difficult, so rebellious. It surely broke his heart that every time Absalom did something wrong, every time he stumbled, fell, committed a sin, whatever, it must have just broke David's heart. And we find David weeping at various times over Absalom. For example, after Amnon died at the hands of his brother Absalom, David wept. And he wept not only for the loss of his oldest son, but he wept for Absalom as well because of what he did. This is his own flesh and blood. So, imagine how you would feel under similar circumstances. I suspect that some of you have wept over the poor decisions of some of your children. I'm guessing. That's just a guess. Could you love your child with the knowledge that he or she is trying to harm or hurt you or your family? Could you love that child? So what does today's story teach us? What does it want us to know? I think it tells us to love them anyway. I think that's what we can glean from the message. Love them anyway. Don't stop loving those near to us even when they hurt us. It's like if I would ask you to consider a parent, and I've used this illustration before. A mother or father will love their child no matter what. It's like unconditional love, right? As expected. They don't care, or they do care, about how their children act and behave and so forth. But they love them even more deeply than that. I'd like to share with you a true story I was reading one day. It was on the internet, and it was from the Las Vegas Sun. Interesting. I didn't even know they had a paper called Las Vegas Sun. But it's a story that occurred here some time ago, but the meaning is lasting. It's about this lady named Nancy. She's 60 years old, by the way. If there's anybody in here named Nancy, it's just a coincidence. So Nancy is a 60-year-old grandparent, and she's raising three kids. She's got two twin boys that are 6-year-olds. That's a handful, right? And she has a young lady with special needs. Remember, Nancy is 60 years old. Now, why is she doing this? Because her daughter cannot raise her own children. Why can't her daughter raise her own children? Because her daughter is a drug addict and has a long criminal history, right? Criminal record. So in the story, Nancy noted that her daughter fell in the wrong crowd when she was a teenager, started using drugs, never was able to recover. She'd been involved in a number of relationships, hence the three children. You know, you could just see that spiraling going on, right? In the article, there's a psychologist named Shira Bradley that weighs in on this story, and she says, every parent has dreams for their kids and hopes for those kids. But when those dreams are shattered, feelings of guilt and anger and sadness and embarrassment, they all surface. And parents will always, always wonder, what did we do, right? Or what did we not do? So I think some of us can identify with that. So Nancy had same emotional struggles. She often reflected on her daughter when her daughter upset her a lot. She would reflect about when her daughter was young, when she was a sweet little girl back then. But somewhere along the way, her daughter turned south again, using drugs would hinder her judgment multiple times, and not only would she have several rests, mostly to feed her habit, she overdosed a number of times. One time she almost died. Nancy recalls her thoughts that day. She said, "The most horrible thing a mother could ever see is looking through a window and seeing your daughter who has overdosed and seeing tubes come out of every part of her body. She looked dead." She recovered. She went into adulthood, of course, and her daughter became, when she got older, she started working as an exotic dancer, which is typically not what parents want of their daughters, right? Still, in spite of everything, Nancy admits in the story, and she's kind of wrapping up the story a little bit, she says, "I love her to death. I do. I just don't want anything bad to happen to her." It sounds just like the same words that David had about Absalom, right? It's the same thing. The same emotion is running from the story of Absalom thousands of years ago to this person named Nancy. And then she added this advice in her story. "Don't give up until it comes to the point where you can't help. But throw everything at them, and hopefully something will stick." Throw everything at them, hopefully something will stick. And then she noted these final words of her daughter. She said, "My hope for her is that she gets clean, gets the help she needs to fix why she is the way she is, and maybe even raise her kids." So I was reading that story. There's a lot more involved with it. It would take up quite a bit of time for us to go over all of it. But you get the idea that a parent's love for their child never ends. It just never ends. And no matter what the children do in life, parents will love them and should love them anyway. Anyway. And isn't this way, love them anyway, a reflection of God's love for God's people? Because it seems that throughout the Bible, God continually reaches out to his lost sheep, his kids, his family members, and always trying to bring them back into the fold. Consider some of the readings in the scripture. If you look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, it's a pretty interesting story in there. You remember that God was always disappointed in Israel when it was trying to find its way, because Israel continued to make blunders. But God loved Israel anyway and exercised great patience towards the Hebrews. As I say, you can catch a glimpse in Jeremiah chapter 2. Now tell me this doesn't sound familiar to Nancy's words regarding her daughter. The scriptures read, "I remember how faithful you were when you were young, and how you loved me. Israel, you belong to me alone. I remember when you were young, when you were sweet, when you were nice." Yet despite God's affection for Israel, the Hebrews continued to rebel against the Lord. And God will ask in frustration, and tell me this doesn't sound familiar to those of you who've been in similar situations. Here's what God says, verse 6, chapter 2. "What made them," the tribes of Israel, "what made them turn away from me? They did not care about me, even though I rescued them from Egypt and led them through the wilderness." Right? So it's kind of like if we've raised difficult kids, and we think back to ourselves, what did I do? I fed them. I gave them a good home. They had great friends. What happened? I did all this for them. And this is what God is wrestling with in his mind as he's dealing with Israel. And then in the very next chapter, we hear Nancy's words again. Nancy, going back to her, God tells his people, even though they have rebelled against him, and I quote verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12, 14, "Unfaithful Israel, come back to me. I am merciful, and I will not be angry." Unfaithful people, come back to me, because you belong to me, is what the scriptures read. Love them anyway is the takeaway message from this lesson. And what did Jesus teach? Because we can move along. We can go through the scriptures. Jesus, in both Matthew and Luke, tells us a lesson that Jesus taught his followers, and he says, "I tell you, do not take revenge on someone who wrongs you, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Well, I can tell you right now that there are family members that persecute each other, right? There are family members like that. And then you remember the story of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. You know the story. What do? You leave the 99 sheep to pursue the one sheep, right, and try to bring it back into the fold. And when you find it, the scriptures read, you are happy. You are happy. And we all know the story of the prodigal son, really, or we should know the prodigal son, trying to reassure his older son regarding the younger one. Quote 15, verse 32, we had to celebrate and to be happy because your brother was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's been found. Remember, the brother was a little bit upset that the lost one was getting all this attention? Never mind what I would say. And finally, what did Paul say about this matter? He weighs in on the same subject. He has his own opinion. And he says this, our message is that God was making all human beings his friends through Christ. And then hear this passage. God does not keep account of sins. God does not keep an account of sins. Love them anyway, despite their sins. Love them anyway, despite their sins. Forgive them repeatedly, over and over again. So as hard, you see, these are passages. I mean, we could go on and spend quite some time with this, but so as hard it was for David to love Absalom, he loved him anyway. As hard as it was for Nancy to love her daughter, she loved her anyway. As hard it was for God to love Israel, God loved Israel anyway. As difficult as it was for the father to receive his lost and rebellious son, he loved him anyway. So as a parent myself of a difficult child, I have learned that if you throw all sorts of support and love to your child, something may indeed stick. Something may click, and a life may turn around. It's worth a try over and over and over again. There's always hope for anyone at any stage in life, and for that reason, we should love them anyway. Amen. All right, we have moved to that time where we're going to prepare ourselves to have Holy Communion. I think Mark mentioned to you earlier the reason why we're having it this week instead of last week. So I'm going to ask our communion stewards and ushers to kind of get in their place at this time, and then we will give you further instructions at that point. So I was a little premature, so I'm going to ask the servers if they could just sit down in the front pew, and then we're going to read our liturgy. Our liturgy, if you'd like to follow along with me, starts on page 9 in your hymn book. Page 9 in your hymn book. If you'd like to follow along with me, and I'm just going to begin reading towards the bottom, and then there's one response, that Christ died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. You'll see that in your hymn book, or I'll motion to you when that time comes. And then we'll continue with communion. Thank you. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, for your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, and deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now when the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. All right, now if I could ask my servers to come forward at this time. Servers go through their station. We would encourage you, the ushers will guide you to the serving stations on the in the end of each row here. And after you receive the elements, you may either partake at that time, or what we've been doing here for several months is you're welcome to come to the altar, the chancel rail, and take the elements at that time and have a time of prayer. And then once you are finished, well, then we just ask you to return to your seats. And then when we all finish, we'll continue on with our service of worship. So, ushers, if you can help them.
Wine in remembrance.
do this in remembrance of me. Thank you.
to thank everybody for being a part of our service today. It's so wonderful to be with our church family, and the love that you have for each other, and for me even. It's just overwhelming and great, and I just think the blessings that I have here to be serving with you. So let us receive this benediction, a familiar one from Paul's letter to the Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And bear with one another. Forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to sing Step by Step.
That's right.
Right. How appropriate. We're going to all step out of the sanctuary, right?
That's right.
I got you. So we reach across the aisles and join hands with our neighbors. Unless you got a cold. Don't.